Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoice and rise high, burning with love, love as your sea.
Let the peace take from the Yes, I put on. No. I'm live. What's up? This Monday, Jimmy the Underground Radio Network sitting here. Now I got the headphones on. Got the phone in my hand. We're sitting here. I'm sitting on here with my sister chilling in the building. But I am on the porch of raining with the great Reverend Curtis Thomas. You know, and I'm happy to have him here on this Monday. Enjoying Maxwell's cigar. We're going to just set it off with the press conference. At least not Ebony, because we're going to do the Kung Fu Flu. We do this Kung Fu Flu because, for some reason, we're forgetting this company. It's coming from China, and we don't want these Chinese people to think that we are getting them off the hook by making a fight over here. This is not Hong Kong, all right? And I'm good. I got the phone. I ain't on the phone. We're good. And but I'm going to press release because it is a good question. And we're going to deal with the violence in Chicago. Martin Luther King Republic is going to have a little pressure coming out. I'm going to let y'all stay tuned to that. Don't forget to tune in. Go to the website, www.martinluthkingrepublicans.com. And I'm being conceited. You can always go to Jimmy's DC to see what's up with me. All right, I'm Ebony. Let's go on and hit the end. You see it? You got a press White House press conference June 22nd today. Right? Yeah. Well, she typed that up. It was obviously happy belated Father's Day. Right? Happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers. Happy to my father. Hey, Frank Roper, happy Father's Day and happy birthday to your father, too. And you, Cadillac, Purvis Thomas, happy belated Father's Day to all. So we sit there chilling off. Let's go to White House, Ebony, and we get in like that.
Hello, everyone. This past Father's Day weekend, we saw violence across the country, but we saw scant media coverage of this violence. Let's be clear here. The states are responsible for policing their streets. The governors, the mayors are responsible for ensuring that our streets are safe, that the American people are protected. And what we have seen is in far too many Democrat-run states and Democrat-run cities, we have seen violence and chaos and nothing like the law and order that we saw here in D.C. when President Trump stepped in and surged the National Guard. In Chicago, for instance, we saw over 100 people were shot and 14 tragically killed, including a three-year-old was among the victims. And one local news outlet tragically reported that multiple teenagers were killed in Chicago this weekend as well. In Minneapolis, 11 people were shot and one person killed. One individual was a father of two who worked as a barber, and our hearts break for this family. Also in Democrat-run New York City, we saw that the New York Post reported that there was one shooting per hour this Saturday, absolutely inexcusable, with 24 people shot on Saturday alone. And then in Democrat-run Seattle, we've seen the autonomous zone, otherwise known as CHOP, C-H-O-P. One person was shot and killed in this autonomous zone run by radical anarchists. And also, we saw another shooting there yesterday as well. And Democrat mayor of the city called CHOP, quote, the summer of love. But it has been nothing of the sort, clearly, with two individuals shot, one person shot and killed. It is the responsibility of governors to protect their states, to police their streets. The police power rests at the state level. And we expect mayors to step up and to do their job and governors to step up and do their job in the mold of President Trump, who secured D.C. after a night of lawlessness 2 weeks ago. Finally, the defund police movement is misguided. It will only hurt the vulnerable citizens of American cities the most. It's sad and it is shameful. And with that, I'll take questions. Yes.
Kaylee, thank you. Has the president actually directed officials to slow down the rate of coronavirus testing?
No, he has not directed that. And in fact, I would note that first, we continue to test about 500,000 per day, about 500,000 people per day. $1.8 billion is invested in NIH to find new testing capabilities. Any suggestion that testing has been curtailed is not rooted in fact. I would just note the extraordinary efforts of this administration. More than, at this point, 26.7 million tests, and we should be north of that.
When he said Saturday that he told his people to slow it down, what did he mean by that?
The president was trying to expose what the media oftentimes does, is they ignore the fact that the United States has more cases because we have more testing. We are leading the world in testing, and he was pointing that out, that it's a fact that the media readily ignores.
What he's saying that he told his people to slow down testing is not true?
It was a comment that he made in jest. It's a comment that he made in passing, specifically with regard to the media coverage and pointing out the fact that the media never acknowledges that we have more cases because when you test more people, you find more cases.
Is it appropriate to joke about coronavirus when 120,000 people have died?
He was not joking about coronavirus. I just said he was joking about the media and their failure to understand the fact that when you test more, you also find more cases.
Kaylee, thanks so much. To follow up on that, has the president ever delayed the allocation of federal funding that's already been dedicated to national testing?
No, on the contrary, the president has led the way to make us the leading country in the world on testing. In fact, the FDA has authorized 144 tests under EUAs, emergency use authorizations. These include 122 molecular tests, 21 antibody tests, one antigen test, and the president has led the way in making us the world's leader with regard to testing.
The administration sitting on about $14 billion of funds that have been approved but not yet allocated?
Well, I just mentioned the $1.8 billion at NIH. That's there, and we're exploring new testing. We're leading the world in testing, and we will continue to do so.
Hey, Haley, I have a question of my own. Last July, President Trump declared himself the least racist person there is anywhere in the world. Why does he use racist phrases like the Kung Flu?
Well, the president doesn't. So what the president does do is point to the fact that the origin of the virus is China. It's a fair thing to point out. Hello, everyone. This past Father's Day weekend, we saw violence across the country, but we saw scant media coverage of this violence. Let's be clear here. The states are responsible for policing their streets. The governors, the mayors are responsible for ensuring that our streets are safe, that the American people are protected. And what we have seen is in far too many Democrat-run states and Democrat-run cities, we have seen violence and chaos and nothing like the law and order that we saw here in D.C. when President Trump stepped in and surged the National Guard. In Chicago, for instance, we saw over 100 people were shot and 14 tragically killed, including a three-year-old was among the victims. And one local news outlet tragically reported that multiple teenagers were killed in Chicago this weekend as well. In Minneapolis, 11 people were shot and one person killed. One individual was a father of two who worked as a barber, and our hearts break for this family. Also in Democrat-run New York City, we saw that the New York Post reported that there was one shooting per hour this Saturday, absolutely inexcusable, with 24 people shot on Saturday alone. And then in Democrat-run Seattle, we've seen the autonomous zone, otherwise known as CHOP, C-H-O-P. One person was shot and killed in this autonomous zone run by radical anarchists. And also, we saw another shooting there yesterday as well. And Democrat mayor of the city called CHOP, quote, the summer of love, but it has been nothing of the sort, clearly, with two individuals shot, one person shot and killed. It is the responsibility of governors to protect their states, to police their streets. The police power rests at the state level. And we expect mayors to step up and to do their job and governors to step up and do their job in the mold of President Trump, who secured D.C. after a night of lawlessness 2 weeks ago. Finally, the defund police movement is misguided. It will only hurt the vulnerable citizens of American cities the most. It's sad and it is shameful. And with that, I'll take questions. Yes.
Haley, thank you. Has the president actually directed officials to slow down the rate of coronavirus testing?
No, he has not directed that. And in fact, I would note that first, we continue to test about 500,000 per day, about 500,000 people per day. $1.8 billion is invested in NIH to find new testing capabilities. Any suggestion that testing has been curtailed is not rooted in fact. I would just note the extraordinary efforts of this administration. More than, at this point, 26.7 million tests, and we should be north of that.
When he said Saturday that he told his people to slow it down, what did he mean by that?
The president was trying to expose what the media oftentimes does, is they ignore the fact that the United States has more cases because we have more testing. We are leading the world in testing, and he was pointing that out, that it's a fact that the media readily ignores.
So what he's saying that he told officials, he told his people to slow down testing is not true?
It was a comment that he made in jest. It's a comment that he made in passing, specifically with regard to the media coverage and pointing out the fact that the media never acknowledges that we have more cases because when you test more people, you find more cases.
Is it appropriate to joke about coronavirus when 120,000 people have died?
He was not joking about coronavirus. I just said he was joking about the media and their failure to understand the fact that when you test more, you also find more cases.
Haley, thanks so much. To follow up on that, has the president ever delayed the allocation of federal funding that's already been dedicated to national testing?
No, on the contrary, the president has led the way to make us the leading country in the world on testing. In fact, the FDA has authorized 144 tests under EUAs, emergency use authorizations. These include 122 molecular tests, 21 antibody tests, one antigen test, and the president has led the way in making us the world leaders with regard to testing.
The administration sitting on about $14 billion of funds that have been approved but not yet allocated.
Well, I just mentioned the $1.8 billion at NIH that's there, and we're exploring new testing. We're leading the world in testing, and we will continue to do so.
Haley, I have a question of my own. Last July, President Trump declared himself the least racist person there is anywhere in the world. Why does he use racist phrases like the Kung Flu?
The president doesn't. So what the president does do is point to the fact that the origin of the virus is China. It's a fair thing to point out as China tries to ridiculously rewrite history, ridiculously blame the coronavirus on American soldiers. This is what China is trying to do. And what President Trump is saying, no, China, I will label this virus for its place of origin.
That's what he's saying by using the racist phrase Kung Flu?
He is linking it to its place of origin.
What does he have to say to Asian Americans who are deeply offended and worried that his use will lead to further attacks of discrimination?
So the president has said very clearly it's important that we totally protect our Asian community in the U.S. and all around the world. They're amazing people, and the spreading of the virus is not their fault in any way, shape, or form. They're working closely with us to get rid of it. We will prevail together. It's very important. So it's not a discussion about Asian Americans, who the president values and prizes as citizens of this great country. It is an indictment of China for letting this virus get here. And I would also point out that the media blames President Trump for using the terms China virus and Wuhan virus when they themselves have used these very terms. The New York Times called it the Chinese coronavirus, Reuters the Chinese virus, CNN the Chinese coronavirus on January 20th, Washington Post January 21st, Chinese coronavirus, and I have more than a dozen other examples.
Category, Kaylee. Kung Flu is extremely offensive to many people in the Asian American community. To be clear, are you saying the White House does not believe it is racist?
To be clear, I think the media is trying to play games with the terminology of this virus, where the focus should be on the fact that China let this out of their country. The same phrase that the media roundly now condemns has been used by the media. I can go more examples. Wuhan virus, CNN said on January 22nd, and we can go on and on and on. So while the media wants to focus on nomenclature, the president's going to focus on action. Yes.
Kelly, the president and the attorney general over the weekend offered different explanations behind the firing of Jeffrey Berman, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. Can you clarify now why Berman was dismissed and if it was at the president's request?
Well, I think that they were very much in sync this weekend, the attorney general and the president, and here is what happened. The president held Mr. Clayton in very high regard, wanted to nominate him to this position in SDNY to keep him in the government as he returns to New York. Barr was working on a smooth transition, and when Berman chose to respond in the way that he did, he came to the president, and the president agreed and fired this individual, Mr. Berman, as Mr. Clayton now will in time get to that position.
So why was Mr. Berman being dismissed in the first place?
Because Mr. Clayton wanted to go back to New York City. We wanted to keep him in government, and therefore he was given the position at SDNY.
But why did the president, I have two questions, but why did the president say he wasn't involved in the firing of Jeff Berman when the attorney general said the president was the one who fired him?
Because the attorney general was taking the lead on this matter. He did come to the president and report to him when Mr. Berman decided not to leave. And at that point is when the president agreed with the decision of the attorney general and that to fire Mr. Berman and to promote Mr. Clayton.
So he was involved in it then?
He was involved in the sign-off capacity. He was not, AG Barr was leading the way, but in the sign-off capacity, yes, the president was.
So my second question on testing is, you said the president made that comment in jest about having people slow down the testing. The vice president just said that it was made in passing. Pierre Navarro said it was tongue-in-cheek. But when the president himself was just asked by a reporter like an hour ago, he did not say that he was just joking when he said that he told officials to slow down the testing.
The president instead used that opportunity to extol the fact that we've done more than 25 million tests, that we're finding more people because we're doing more testing. And I would note that what the vice president said and Peter Navarro, whether it's in jest, in passing, or tongue-in-cheek, those are all synonymous.
Well, why is that funny?
Justin.
And I just want to note, to follow up on media, you don't even have to answer this, the media has never called it the Kung Flu. calling it a Chinese coronavirus and calling it the Kung Flu are very different.
The media and your network specifically.
They called it the Kung Flu.
The media and your network specifically have repeatedly used the term China virus and Wuhan virus, and then gone on to deride the president as somehow using a term that they themselves have never used. So we can go through CNN's history. I'd be more than happy to go through CNN's history. On February 9th, you guys talked about the Wuhan coronavirus. On January 23rd, you guys talked about the Wuhan coronavirus. On January 22nd, the Wuhan virus. I can write it all out for you and detail it for you in an email.
Yes, Justin. You've got to admit that. It is not the same thing as calling it the Kung Flu.
I first want to just follow on what you were just talking about with Berman. So, obviously the president made the decision to nominate Clayton for the job, and that led to the sort of kerfuffle that we saw over the weekend. But there's this decision to remove Berman from the post before Clayton was nominated, or before Clayton was either nominated or, more importantly, confirmed. And so I think the question is, why did you take the acting U.S. attorney out of his job before there was a Senate-confirmed replacement?
Because there's an intent to put Clayton there, and so there will be an interim individual, an acting attorney, as we work to get Mr. Clayton in that position.
Yeah, but I guess the question is, why didn't he continue in his position until Clayton was confirmed?
Because we are hopeful that Clayton will be confirmed. We're not leaving him there. We're putting an interim person in place. No investigation will be affected by this, as was made clear by Attorney General Barr.
All right, then, yes, sorry, please. I wanted to ask about the president over the weekend said that he didn't impose sanctions on China over the Uyghur internment camps because he was worried about his ability to negotiate the trade deal. But since the trade deal was signed in January, China, as you mentioned earlier, not only has acted in ways that you frustrated with on coronavirus, but the president announced their behavior in Hong Kong and failed to live up to many of the tenets of the trade deal itself. At the same time, the president signed an executive order on international religious liberty. So I'm wondering when, if ever, is the president actually going to sanction Chinese officials under either the original legislation or the legislation he signed last week?
So I'll get an update for you on that. But what I will say so far is, and you noted this in your question, that he signed legislation to hold China accountable for the treatment, for their treatment of the Uyghurs and other minorities in China. But he also previously has imposed visa restrictions on Chinese officials for roles in China's treatment of Uyghurs and other minorities. He's blacklisted companies that were complicit in China's treatment. He has taken strong action, but I will get back to you on that. Yes,
please. Is the president happy with the size of the crowd in Tulsa?
The president was very pleased with the rally. I was with him, and I just have to say these media reports that he was somehow furious on the plane, there is no grounding in fact to that. I was with him on Marine One on the way there, on Marine One after. He was very, very pleased with how the rally went, and the media reporting on this prompted me to go around and ask some of my colleagues if they saw something different, and I spoke with Dan Scavino, who was in the Beast with the president right after the rally, and said he was very energized, having been around the American people. So he's quite pleased with how the rally went, and even a political pundit wrote to him that it was one of the all-time great speeches they'd ever heard. We saw him expose his own humanity when he described the wonderful West Point story. The speech made his message so clear and compelling that no one could possibly have missed it, and it was so great to be out of the swamp and in the country. And those comments are how the president feels, too.
And are you going to make any changes to these events, like have more outdoor events where people aren't clumped together, or any, what's been accomplished?
So on the note of future rallies, I'd refer you to the campaign.
Yes. Thanks so much, Kelly. I wanted to ask on the coronavirus, who is the most senior person at this time who is focused full-time on coronavirus with no other duties, simply coronavirus? Who would that person be, and what type of authority does this person have to spend U.S. resources?
So in the Trump administration, we're quite good at doing two things at once. We're expected to do many things at one time. The vice president is continuing to lead the task force. They meet regularly. Dr. Fauci is there. Dr. Birx is there. Dr. Redfield is there. They're regularly talking to governors. They had a governor's call today. The president is regularly briefed about the state of coronavirus and is regularly involved in decision-making as we move forward.
Is there a specific person who is focused on this full-time with no other duties?
There, a lot lot of people are focused on this.
The most senior person, who would that be?
Dr. Redfield, Dr. Birx, Dr. Fauci, all of our experts are involved. The vice president leads the task force each and every day, but we do many things at once in this administration, and we've done quite a good job with coronavirus, and it's we're pleased to see that it's a tragedy anytime a life is lost to coronavirus, but we are pleased to see that yesterday for the first time there were under 300 fatalities. So we are trending in the right direction. We're aware when there are rises here and there, and those embers, we are equipped to go in, to handle, to put out, and to save as many lives as possible. And thanks to President Trump, could have lost 3 million lives, but we lost far fewer because President Trump took action early.
Yes. Kelly, two on Venezuela, but first I just wanted to follow up very quickly on Weisha's question and Caitlin's follow-up. Does the president regret using the term Kung Flu, regardless of the fact that media organizations, including my own, had early on described the virus as the Wuhan virus? That is a different thing than saying Kung Flu. Does the president regret using that term?
The president never regrets putting the onus back on China, pointing out that China is responsible for this, and in the process standing up for U.S. troops who are being blamed by China in a campaign of misinformation.
And on Venezuela, who does the president consider to be the legitimate leader of Venezuela, and is he still interested in any form in meeting with President Nicolas Maduro?
Yeah, I'm very glad you asked this question. The president tweeted today that, unlike the radical left, I will always stand against socialism and with the people of Venezuela. My administration has always stood on the side of freedom and liberty and against the oppressive Maduro regime. Nothing has changed. He continues to recognize Juan Guaido as the leader of Venezuela.
Does he reject the characterization in John Bolton's book that he once said it would be cool to invade Venezuela?
John Bolton has completely discredited himself. Multiple senior administration officials are on the record exposing his lies, and even the media seems to have taken note of John Bolton and how ridiculous some of the things he said. The reviews that his book has gotten have been rightly right on in the media. The media has said that this book is exceedingly tedious and slightly unhinged, bloated with self-importance. That was the New York Times. The New Yorker said he takes an inflated view of himself and a willingness to blame others for just about everything. The Federalist talked about the numerous serious factual flaws, which have been underlined as being false by Pompeo, Lighthizer, and others, who have all come out and said that this book is full of mistruths about themselves and about others in this administration, and certainly about the president.
Does he claim that that was untrue, then?
Yes.
Kaylee,
yes.
Thank you very much. I wanted to go back to the FDNY and Berman. Was Jeffrey Berman fired because of investigations that he had overseen into President Trump's associates, including Rudy Giuliani and Michael Cohen? Was he fired because he had overseen those investigations?
No, he was not. And as I noted earlier, and AG Barr noted, this will not disrupt the cases being handled by the district, which will proceed as normal.
But is the president of the White House not at least concerned about the appearance of impropriety in the firing, given that those cases were being handled in his office?
The administration has very clearly outlined the reason that he is leaving, and it is because Mr. Clayton will be moved into that role.
Morgan. Thanks, Kaylee. Is the White House concerned about the fact that coronavirus cases are now rising on a national basis after having plateaued, and does that require any new federal action?
I think it's a very important question you're asking, and what I would note is the fatality numbers. We're pleased to see that number coming down. I would also point out that Dr. Birx said to me that a higher number of these cases are less severe cases per positive than at the beginning of this pandemic, because what's happening is because of our extraordinary work with testing, we're able to identify cases in the community before they develop symptoms and are in a hospital. So instead of identifying cases in hospitals, we're identifying them in the community, which is a really good and positive development, and we are equipped to handle when we see these embers that have occurred. Yamiche.
Hi, thanks, Kaylee. I have two quick questions. The first is on the president has attacked the move to remove Confederate statues across the country. He said that it was an assault on, quote, our heritage. What does the White House and the president say to Americans who find it offensive to glorify people who owned other Americans, including enslaved African Americans?
So I would note on statues that what we're seeing across the country is really quite confusing, because you're seeing statues defaced like Gandhi's statue defaced and Ulysses S. Grant's statue defaced and abolitionist Matthias Baldwin's statue defaced. At the same time, we're being told that George Washington's statue needs to come down and Thomas Jefferson's statue needs to come down. Where do you draw the line, you know, from Gandhi all the way to George Washington? And it seems the American people very much agree with the president on this, on not bringing down these statues. Less than a third of those polled, according to Morning Consult, think these statues should be taken down. 61% oppose it, according to Marist. 62% according to Marist. So I would point that out, and I would say that when people watch these statue defacements and the beheading of some of these statues, like Christopher Columbus, where do you draw the line? Because apparently the line goes all the way to Gandhi.
So this means, my second question is, going back to the issue of Kung Fu, I spoke to Kellyanne Conway in March. She said that it was highly offensive and wrong to use that term. Does the president agree with Kellyanne Conway, or is he now saying that that term is not highly offensive and wrong? Because, again, that was Kellyanne Conway's own words saying Kung Fu is wrong.
The president does not believe it's offensive to note that this virus came from China and to stand up for our U.S. military, who China is making an active effort to completely defame, and that is unacceptable to the president.
You're okay with again, just to go back to what I said to Kellyanne. As I said to Kellyanne Conway, she said that it was wrong and offensive. Are you saying that she was wrong to say that?
Chanel.
Are you saying that he was wrong to say that?
On John Bolton and his book, if he goes unprosecuted, does the administration feel that this would set, or does it fear that this would set a precedent or embolden public servants to violate their oaths to this nation for political purposes?
Absolutely, that's a concern. Look, the information in John Bolton's book was classified information as confirmed by the most senior national security and intelligence officials. And look, you have NSA Director Nakasone saying that this could cause permanent loss of a valuable source, intelligence source, and damage to the U.S. intelligence system. DNI Radcliffe saying virtually the same. You have another government official saying the unauthorized disclosure of this information could reasonably be expected to enable foreign threat actors. This is the seriousness with which we look at this book and the NSC looks at this book as they scan it for classified information. There's real damage that can be done. And for what? For self-promotion and publicity of a failed NSA director.
On Venezuela also,
yes.
Could I ask about Maduro and Guaido? Why has President Trump seemed to have lost confidence in Juan Guaido?
He has not lost confidence at all. And that tweet that I read to you very clearly says that the president put out this morning. We stand with the Venezuelan people in their fight for freedom. And I would also note how tough this president has been on Maduro by recognizing Juan Guaido. And when you compare that to the Obama Biden administration, you had the former Vice President Joe Biden, who actually met with the Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro and complimented his hair, according to Yahoo News. If I had your hair, I'd be president of the United States, the former vice president said. And also the Obama State Department helped stabilize the Maduro regime by blocking sanctions, according to a 2017 Miami Herald report. So when you compare the actions of this president, we've stood against socialism and on the side of freedom. And finally, one thing that I just want to point out that was handed to me, a whopping 7.7 million total viewers tuned into Fox News to watch the rally on Saturday night. Big numbers. Thanks so much, guys.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them. Thank you.
Am I really on? Yeah. We should have some kung fu fighting out there because everybody's some kung flu. Have we forgotten that the flu came from China? Yeah. Now, we're sitting around talking about all the deaths and stuff like that. That is good. But, you know, China, I mean, they don't have that many deaths, and it started off in China. You know what I mean? So many things that the masks can't protect you, the masks can't protect you. As you know, we're opening up everywhere that corona can't survive outside in the public now, only inside. It's funny. It can't survive outside, but it can survive inside. I still think they're only doing that just because they're trying to keep us from being in church. I don't know. We're going to deal with that in a minute, but I'm going to play a little tape of Leo Terrell and Larry Elder. A lot of people like that. And they're saying that Leo Terrell, a staunch Democrat, said he ain't going to vote for Trump.
I mean, Biden.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. He ain't going to vote for Trump last week, but he's not voting for Biden. So anybody but Biden. Go ahead and run that because you don't call back. 347-838-9825. 347-838-9825. Yeah, but see what the field is doing. Call the field. See what they're doing. Yep.
And tonight, the hypocrisy in the Democratic Party has never been worse. While many call for the removal of Confederate monuments around the country, Democrats, well, they're totally silent on the skeletons in their own closet. Let's take a look at Nancy Pelosi. Well, it was her father who oversaw the dedication of two Confederate monuments in Baltimore, Maryland. Will she now disavow the actions of her very own father? So far, not a word. By the way, nor has the media mob dared to even ask that question. Meanwhile, you might know this, the Russell Senate building is named after a noted Democratic segregationist. Will Senate Democrats now demand that it be renamed? Do they even care? After all, one of the top Democrats in the Senate was none other than Robert Byrd. Yeah, he was the former poobah of, like, the Ku Klux Klan. That guy. We refer to him as Robert KKK Byrd on this show. 2010, Hillary Clinton, oh, she called Robert KKK Byrd her friend and her mentor. Take a look.
Today, our country has lost a true American original, my friend and mentor, Robert C. Byrd. Senator Byrd was a man of surpassing eloquence and nobility.
Imagine if Donald Trump had said that about somebody like Byrd. Of course, the presumptive Democratic nominee, the forgetful Joe Biden, he revered Robert KKK Byrd also, even eulogized the former Klansman during a memorial service. Let's watch.
Although I and my colleagues behind me revere the Senate, Robert C. Byrd elevated the Senate. Well, if there was ever a senator who was the embodiment of his state, there's ever a senator who, in fact, reflected his state, it was Robert C. Byrd. He was fiercely devoted, as you've all heard, to his principles, even once he became power. He always spoke truth to power, standing up for the people he proudly was part of.
Actually refreshing to see the ever-forgetful Joe get out a few sentences without, well, stumbling all over them. Now, Biden also has a long, troubled history on race relations, especially with comments like this. Take a look.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Okay, those remarks apparently causing, well, some pretty widespread anger. Let's take a look.
Well, I think that Uncle Joe knows that he misspoke. He got a lot of phone calls about that, and he will not be making that mistake ever again in his life.
Here's reaction, civil rights attorney Leo Terrell, Salem, nationally rated, nationally syndicated radio talk show host Larry Elder. Larry, you know, you know the history of all this better than anybody. You got an encyclopedic memory on a lot of this. Give us other examples.
Well, in the case of Mr. Nancy Pelosi, her father dedicated a Confederate statue when he was a politician in Baltimore. When is this thing going to stop? Barack Obama, I understand, from his mom's side, had slave owners. From his dad's side, he came from a region of Africa where a lot of slave selling took place. And so should we take Obama's name off of every building because of his connection to slavery? The whole thing is absolutely, totally absurd. And let's not call this a cancel culture. I call it a revenge culture because that's what this is about, revenge. And never mind, slavery was something that took place in every corner of the earth, practiced by every person, every race on the earth, and the Barbary pirates took more whites out of Europe, out of the Mediterranean area, than did European slavers take blacks out of Africa to the colonies. So when are we going to stop all this nonsense? We should take advantage of the available opportunities we have right here in this country. It is why people are braving shark-infested waters for crying out loud to get here, because it is the greatest country that God ever created. We ought to stop whining and realize we have a tremendous amount of potential here, and let's get to work.
You know, if you look at the 64 Civil Rights Act, you're a civil rights attorney, Leo Terrell, and the 65 Voting Rights Act, my memory serves me correctly, and remember Southern Strategy as a protest against the Brown v. Board of Education landmark Supreme Court ruling. What you see is a lot of Democrats, they were all against that. A lot of that was the Republicans that helped Lyndon Johnson. The party of the Emancipation Proclamation, that too was the Republican Party. We're really going to have history. Every 2-4 years, what do we have the Democratic Party say about Republicans? Racist, sexist, la, la, la. I go through my whole list. Your reaction.
You know, Sean, this is why I stopped drinking the Democratic Kool-Aid. I can't take this hypocrisy anymore. It's ridiculous. Richard Russell from the South was against integration. He was opposed to anti-lynching bills. This is what bothers me about this whole thing, that the Democrats, just because there's a D in their name, they could be a racist. That statement by Joe Biden is so offensive, and then you get Spike Lee out there and right. Say, it's okay. That's offensive. If any Republican said the same thing, they would be in trouble, big trouble. Joe Biden gave us the crime bill of 1994. President Trump gave us the first step. The bottom line is this. I don't need the Democrats to insult me or try to placate me with African garb, Nancy Pelosi. Pass some laws, pass some reforms, show me something other than some type of condescending act just because you're a Democrat. That doesn't follow anymore. Last point, Democrats, please leave the party. If you want law and order, you cannot get it from the Democrats.
That sounds like you're voting for Donald Trump, Leo Terrell.
Sean,
are you voting for Donald Trump?
Sean,
Whoa, Larry, this is a very important question. That's for Leo.
I am not voting for Joe Biden. And if he puts Kamala Harris on, I will vote for Donald Trump.
Larry.
Sean, the reason I've done this documentary called Uncle Tom, which comes out on June 19th, you can go to uncletom.com and check out the trailers. The reason I've done this is because there's such ignorance about the history of the Democratic Party. It's not just right now. They opposed the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment. Democrats founded the KKK. I didn't say Democrat Party. Democrats founded the KKK. And as a percentage of the party, more Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act of 64 than did Democrats. And this business about the switch BS of all the Democrats who voted against the Civil Rights Act, how many switched to the Republican Party in the Senate? One. Strom Thurmond. That's it. The South remained Republican, didn't become Republican until almost the 90s. It is not true that all of a sudden the racists en masse left the Democratic Party and went to the Republican Party. That's a line that you often hear, and we address that in my documentary, Uncle Tom, UncleTom.com.
Let me point out one thing. I'm asking every Democrat to do your research on Richard Russell and Robert Byrd. Robert Byrd, who Clinton and Biden eulogized, was a Klan member. That means he was anti-Catholic, anti-Jew, and anti-black. You have to leave the Democratic
and
Party.
Leo,
get out of there.
All right. Powerful.
And Leo, not just a Klan member, Leo, he was a recruiter. He was a Kligo. He recruited others. He wasn't just your regular run-of-the-mill Klan guy. He was an executive. Yeah.
Don't let the Democratic Party trick you. Please.
All right, Leo, Larry, thank you both.
Well, now Nancy Pelosi is requesting that 11 Confederate statues be removed from the Capitol, but it wasn't... Did her father, well, wasn't he mayor? He was the mayor of Baltimore, right? He dedicated a Confederate memorial to Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson.
That's correct. On May 2nd, 1948, I looked it up. The Baltimore Sun reports that Mayor Thomas D'Alessandro, Pelosi's father, said, quote, "We can look for inspiration to the lives of Lee and Jackson to remind us to be resolute and determined in preserving our sacred institutions. Americans must emulate Jackson's example and stand like a stone wall against aggression in any form that would seek to destroy the liberty of the world."
Yeah, that's my man. He's lining up there. That's my man, Leo Thrill. Here is everybody. Am I on that? I'm in the red room. All right, see, we can sit here chilling. Hey, hold on. What's the cigar you're smoking on? I mean, what's your cigar? Kind of like you be smoking. What's the name of it, though? We're smoking a mint. I don't know what it's called, but we done dropped down these 15, 20-ounce cigars, and we trying to be high class or something. We got to set my game up. Should we say any? Yeah, hold on. Let me line it up. 347-838-9825. We're going to take calls in. Just go everything. Well, what time we got here? 9 o'clock. All right. Well, you're gonna hit this up. We take your calls later on. 347-838-9825. Go ahead. Let's get everything now.
You're
because you've never been the same as anyone else.
Don't think the same as everyone else. You're
you'll never conclude with anyone else.
Don't think the same as everyone else.
I had everything. I could change anything. If I changed anything, I mean anything, I would change everything. Oh yeah.
Dark boy, don't you cry. There's too much life left in those eyes. Don't you let that face go waterfall. Don't you learn to love your scars and all. Dark boy, don't you die. They're just human, let them lie. You just know your world and speak your truth. Let them come to you for your love and your heart. Because you've never been the same. Anyone else?
Don't think the same as everyone else.
In your cause, there are no wrongs. See, you'll never conclude with anyone else.
Don't think the same as everyone else. If I had everything.
change anything, if I changed anything, I mean anything, I would change everything, oh yeah.
When the media slings mud, we use it to build huts. Irrefutable facts, merciful, beautiful, black, beloved brother, you fail to embarrass them, harassing them. To my life, your life pales in comparison. So go write whatever blog. Messiness is not ever the God. Do what's necessary, I'm never worried. Listen, vultures, I've been shackled by Western culture. You convinced most of my people to live off emotion. That's why we competing. Death by the chrome barrel, forgotten secrets. My killer been Jared, bone marrow's the deepest. You can peep at the comments, but don't fall for that. We want freedom. I'm a scholar in almanac. People do anything to be involved in everything. Inclusion is a hell of a drug. Some people have everything they probably ever wanted in life and never have enough.
I had everything, everything. I could change anything. If I changed anything, I mean anything, I would change everything, oh yeah.
From the birth of a child, the world is foul. Excursions of a searching child should learn to take nothing personal. A parent hates to watch his baby's face, taking his first immunization shots. But this is great, the child's introduction to suffering and pain. Understands without words, nothing is explained. A rush to the brain, looking up at his parent's face like, I thought you would protect me from this scary place. Why'd you let them inject me? Who's gonna know how this side effects is gonna affect me? Who knew I would grow to meet presidents that respect me? If Starbucks is brought by Nestle, please don't arrest me. I need to use your restroom and I ain't buying no espresso soon enough. Assume the cuffs, the position not new to us. Sits back on the bus, sitting, says screw that bus. Boycotted that bus out of business, the future's us. Yet every citizen's in prison.
I had everything, everything. I could change anything. If I changed anything, I mean anything, I would change everything,
oh yeah. Watch me as I walk through the folly golly. New York is Saudi. In Italy, I'm Eduardo Bacari. But Nasty the hustler, nasty like mustard gas sulfur. And I could sell Alaska to Russia, no pressure. My first house, 11,000 square feet mansion. It was haunted by dead rich whites. Mad a nigga bought his crib to hang up pictures of black Christ. Circular driveways, black cars, and black ice. My second house, still in my 20s, illin' with money. Chilled through my spine, spilling wine. It's funny, did good for a staircase. Lord of a euphoria, what you saw when you seen a team turn to a warrior. Did every 4th of July, busting in the sky. It was important to a guy who was mob-minded. Future mafia lava driving, to Lambos got average on me. I started liking the look like I ain't had no money. Yellow taxi seats over Maybach seats, just to remind me, just to inspire me, to stay focused, it's a real sick society. Just cause I got your support, don't mean you buying me. I'm buying back the land owned by the slave masters where my ancestors lived. Just to say a rapper made a change. The pants saga put plans in action to lay claim to Pan-African made it happen.
Been the same as anyone else.
Don't think the same as everyone else. You're in your
world. See, you'll never conclude with anyone else.
Don't think the same as everyone else. I had everything, everything. I could change anything. If I changed anything, I mean anything, I would change everything,
oh yeah.
Dark boy, don't you cry, there's too much life left in those eyes. Don't you let that faith go waterfall, don't you learn to love your scars and all. Dark boy, don't you die, they're just human, let them lie. You just know your world and speak your truth. Let them come to you for your love, your love. See, cause you've never been the same as anyone else.
Don't think the same as everyone else.
And your cause, they're on you.
I'm about to let my man Lack go. He want to hear my little soapbox. I have a soapbox, but I'm gonna give a little detergent still here.
Yeah.
But no, we're sitting there talking about how we reminisce on how we worked hard to get these churches open, and most of these preachers not even open up their churches. And it's funny. It's funny. And I was saying it's good to be in church, get my muscle memory, like a spiritual memory, like Ebony was saying, like you go to a gym, you used to go in the gym, do your workout, your push-ups and stuff like that, and you get used to it. I'm wondering, how would the congregation of these other churches, Ebony, how would they feel? And then we still happy to be back in church, but how are they going to open their churches up? What are the preachers going to say? Is it going to be some type of international celebration, you know, like a day? Because they are open, but some of the major churches are not open. Is Father Flager open? If you attend Father Flager's church, call us, let us know if you're open. I was at Pastor Thomas Church Sunday, and some people from right Reopen Illinois came, and they too said their church was not open. So now I'm gonna kill my hypothesis and say it's a black thing, it's an attack on the black churches, because if the white churches are not open, it's an all out assault spread across the board. You saw the ruling they did on the LGBT ruling and how far reaching it's going to have. We don't even know the outcome of it yet. You know, it has not even been put to practice, you see, because you know the federal government and the Title IX and all these other laws, you know, they put sexuality inside these new federal laws. So if we're opening these things up for LGBT, how far will it go? They're allowing men or boys to participate in female sports. You know, so if your son wants to break all the track records, he can go race against the females or be the Juana man and just be dominating all the females in basketball. We had sports separated by gender to give females the opportunity to progress in sports, to show their side of dominance. But to have men, our bone structures are not the same as women. We all know that, but I don't even get into that. The point I was trying to make, basically, you see all these ungodly laws being passed. And right now, like my preacher always said, times like these, we do need a word from the Lord. And I don't know why these preachers now, how long have they been open? I don't care about
3 weeks?
3 weeks now. And they have not yet opened their doors. And they have no reason to not open their doors. We all saw the George Floyd funeral. We saw the church service. We saw singing. We saw hugging. We saw fellowship. And then we turn around and see the funeral in Atlanta. And then we see regulations. We saw rules. We didn't even see no famous celebrity. We didn't even see Ludacris. Now, I don't know if it was because maybe they felt the shooting might have been justified or not justified. I'm not even going to deal with that. But I'm just going to say they had church. They had a funeral. In New York, the attorney general got fired just because he would not condemn the mayor for condemning the Jewish people for having a funeral, but yet praising the individuals out there for protesting. And now they're saying it's okay to go outside and protest because the corona is not the kung fu flu don't survive outside. All these mixed messages they're giving us. You see, I'm sounding like Moses, tongue-tied preacher. All these mixed messages they're giving us, but they're opening up. They're allowing the children to stay inside, not play basketball. So shout out to Previs Thomas, had a nice little outside gathering. Had the kids outside. electronic bull, fun and play, games, everything out there. No mask. Not afraid. So it's going to come a time, people, we're going to have to take a stand. We're going to have to take a stand. You know, we're going to have to take a stand. We're going to have to take a stand. The Martin Luther King Republicans, we believe in faith, family, and freedom. Believe in faith. Believe in God. Believe in our family. We believe we have freedoms here in America. You know, I took a picture the other day, everybody, with my flag on Juneteenth. And I'm sorry for not being on Friday. We did take a Juneteenth holiday. But a lot of people posted the red, black, and green flag out there, which I have no problem. Red is for the blood. Black is for the race. Black is for the race. Black is for the race, and green is for the land. That's everybody black. That's our flag. But the flag for freedom that most slaves enjoyed seeing when General Grant and General Sherman came down to Atlanta was the bars and stripes. It was the flag for freedom. It was the flag that freed. I don't know who's the leader under the red, black, and green flag. I need somebody, no disrespect, to tell me who is the leader of the Black America movement. Marcus Garvey is not here. So it's Marcus Garvey's flag. Marcus Garvey gave it to us. He gave us the principles. And he wrote with Marcus Garvey. We know that W.E.B. Du Bois tried to get Marcus Garvey deported. He got deported. That's our history. Who does the flag symbolize? I'm not saying get rid of the flag. We does need, at the time we have the colors, it's for our pride and our land and to help us get some type of identity. Because you see what's coming out of slavery, getting the first level of Reconstruction. You know, we were just getting the rights to marry, rights to raise our family. So we need some type of pride. And yes, that symbol was that pride. But yet, let us not forget that we are Americans and that the Confederate flag was a Democratic flag. The bars and stripes was a flag for freedom. So while y'all are not honoring the right to assemble, I can give y'all that. The right to worship, I can give y'all that because, like my pastor said, church is a right. And, well, my friend, the pastor, I didn't listen to Andrew Hunt. You still my pastor, Hunt. I ain't going to say that, but My, like I call you my brother minister, my homeboy minister. You know, homeboy minister Cadillac was saying church is a choice. We do have that church, that choice, because we are free. And once they freed us, and the churches was our only symbol of freedom that we had, we sent our ministers to teach us how to read. Our ministers was our first person on a slave plantation that was able to read. We went to school in our churches. Our churches were the only places that gave us education. We were the only places we were able to meet and congregate, gather, and talk. That was the only place that Master gave us for our sanctuary. Now, I'm not saying Master gave us our religion. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying how important and powerful that the churches were for us. And now, in this time, that they're giving us, you need to work for the Lord. Now, at this time, right, they are controlling us. The next thing they're going to come out, everybody, what's your reason? Next thing they're going to come out, everybody, is going to be these paper ballots. These paper ballots, they want us to vote by mail. Now, this is why I'm saying vote by mail is kind of funny. Here in Chicago, people vote. They got ballot harvesting, meaning that if I'm a preaching captain, I'm going to your door and make sure you vote for who I say you vote for. There's no secret ballot initiative, meaning that my right for privacy and who I'm voting for is being compromised. The people know that I'm voting, and my name is being cast on my mailing address or the ballot on the mail. You're going to receive a mail from me saying Jimmy Tillman. You're going to open the mail up, and you're going to know my political background and how I stand on issues and who I voted for. And now I'm putting all my secret, all my privacy at your will. I mean, this is why the vote is so sacred, and that's why we go to the ballot box, and our vote is private. Now, I know I've been running on and on. I've said so many topics, but the bottom line I'm saying is this. My man about to leave me on the front porch. I know it's getting cold, but man, I'm saying that. And he's hanging around. I appreciate it. I've been hanging around with me. Yeah, I ain't showing up right. Hold on, okay, yeah. Pass on out yourself, man. But what I'm saying is we worked hard out here. We worked hard out here for the right to worship. Church of the choice, all you preachers out here marching, celebrating. Like my man said, Kellex said, out here marching, celebrating, and I open up your doors. In this time of uncertainty, a lot of people who don't like Trump are scared to death that he's going to cause World War III, going to break up. They want to hear their preachers and pastors too. People are unsettled. People are unsure of themselves. So I can't say enough. Now, June 27th, I mean, what's going on June 27th? International Families Day?
Yep.
Okay. Well, June 27th is going to be International Families Day. Black Family Day, International Family Day. Black Family Day, International Family Day. What's Family Day? We're going to celebrate familyism. Like I said, I always put a blackism in it. Because
Black families matter.
Oh, excuse me. It's Black Families Matter. The Black Family Matters. Is it going to be when, Emily?
It's on June 27th.
June 27th, Black Family Matters. He's going to have a thing come out that, and he's going to give you information about that. But in the end, everybody, preachers, teachers, politicians, we have right to worship, right to gather, right to assemble. We should not let them take that from us. And I know I'm all over the board. And I ain't uncomfortable. I'm frantic because my man sat down with me, you know, longer than I thought. So I'm just going ahead and was it Ebony? Oh, no. Matter of fact, Ebony, because you're about to ride out, let's get a little song. Westring Reads, and we're going to deal with the Black Family Matters. We're going to talk about a little Kung Fu Flu, and we're going to deal with these shots in Chicago because, you know, Friday, the Mother King of Public will have a press conference again. We're going to deal with the violence. So we're standing now to give you a heads up, everybody. We deal with the violence in Chicago. That means be on guard. Be on guard. Get up ready. Get on. Okay, now. Come on out. Just head out. No, fit. Yeah, dig this, Devin. We have to half an hour mark of the show. Were you in blue all the time? I don't know. Were you in blue all the time? Were you in blue? Were you in blue? Were you in blue, Ebony? Huh?
I think I was in the shadow for the whole time.
Well, listen, everybody. I don't know what Ebony read. Oh, I love she's in the shadows. So, how much time do we got, Ebony? This is going to end it. Listen, Jimmy Lee Underground Radio, we're getting this show a little short for a second. Got some technical difficulties going on. We're jumping in and out. So, wish you all cut it short. Sorry, everybody. Good night, man. You got to be with me. We'll be going one. I guess we go all, Ebony. We can go in and wrap it. Let's wrap it up. Just wrap it up. I'll just wrap it up. I'll see y'all tomorrow.